Oh, yes. There we have a motion that we receive the report. Do we have a mover and a seconder at this time? So moved by Councillor Darling, seconded by Deputy Mayor Beattie. Any final questions or concerns? Seeing none, all in favour? Carried. At this point, we're going to move on to 15.2, and this is the next item is report COMM-2026-011, and this is going to be coming from the Director of Community Services, Mark, Manager of Recreation and Manager of Parks, regarding the Parks and Recreation Master Plan. At this time, Director, would you like to do some introductions for us? Please.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor Cleveland, Deputy Mayor Beattie, and members of Council. We're pleased to be here this evening with a report and presentation on the Parks and Recreation Master Plan for 2026 to 2035 and our progress to date. Here with me this evening is Lindsay Aiken, Manager of Recreation. She's actually sitting right here in the council chambers behind me, and she's been the lead on this project since day one. Also, not here in council chambers, but watching online, Stu Defoe, Manager of Parks, and Jody Ware Simpson from our team, who are providing their expertise and support to the process through the Parks and Recreation Master Plan Task Force. I would like to thank Councillor Mouton for representing Council on the task force and for contributing valuable historical insight and guidance throughout the process. And I would also like to take a moment to acknowledge the members of our task force who are here this evening in the Council chambers and also joining us online. We now have a full 9-member committee. We're very excited about that, bringing a diverse range of backgrounds, voices, expertise, and perspectives to the process. As Council will remember, this past summer, the town contracted the services of Think Design to complete an update to the Parks and Recreation Master Plan. This new plan will provide a unified high-level document that will guide both council and staff on prioritizing investments into recreation programs, services, facilities, and amenities over the next 10 years. We are pleased to have our consultants, Madison Busby and Daniel Lekarkic-Biss from Think Design with us this evening to provide council with an overview of the project, where we have been, where we currently are, and what the next steps are in the process. Danielle and Madison, I will turn it over to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. So as Lakusha said, my name is Danielle Anarsic-Biss, and I am a registered professional planner and associate at Think Design, a Toronto-based planning and landscape architecture firm. I'm joined today by my colleague, Madison Busby, a landscape designer on our team. Together with support from Mihat Kelly and Associates and Oracle Pole Research, we are leading the development of a Parks and Recreation Master Plan for the town of Cobourg. If you could advance to the next slide, that would be great. So today we'll touch on the purpose and structure of a master plan, Cobourg's context, and our timeline and approach for undertaking the project. The bulk of our presentation will focus on sharing an overview of findings from our extensive consultation activities thus far, and we'll conclude with the discussion on next steps. Slide, please. So a Parks and Recreation Master Plan is intended to be a roadmap for parks and recreation infrastructure over a dedicated time period. In this case, we're looking at Cobourg's next 10 years to 2036. Our scope includes parks, open spaces, sport facilities, recreation programs, events, and service delivery. The plan will be a high-level, macro, strategic document intended to align with existing plans and policies and support the town in prioritizing, planning, and budgeting. Our team specializes in master plans, and we've completed them in over 40 municipalities of all shapes and sizes. This slide shows the covers of some of our recent projects, including close by in Loyalist Township and the City of Quinte West. Next slide. So the main focus of the plan is short, medium, and long-term recommendations based on various data sources, including site observations, parks and recreation trends, growth projections, usage data, facility schedules, surveys, interviews, in-person conversations, and local opportunities. Ultimately, council will determine when and how recommendations are implemented and how they might be advanced or delayed or amended over the 10-year period, depending on changing circumstances and additional consultation. This slide shows some sample recommendations from our recent Parks and Recreation Master Plan in Niagara on the Lake. including a parkland provision goal, off-leash dog park location, arena study, and new policies. If you advance to the next slide, you'll see some sample recommendations from our master plan completed last year in Quinte West. So as you can see, some recommendations are more specific than others, such as upgrades to ball diamonds at a specific park versus providing up to two more tennis courts over the term of the plan. So we shape our recommendations based on the unique needs of the community in consultation with staff. Next slide, please. For the purposes of our project, we're working with an existing population of 20,519 residents in Coburg based on census data. Madison prepared this lovely map labeling all of Coburg's municipal parks in light green, municipal indoor recreation facilities in purple, and local schools in red. If you advance to the next slide, you'll see at the conclusion of the master plan's 10-year term, it is estimated that Coburg's population will grow to at least 25,901 residents. This map shows planned developments in orange, and we understand more are coming up the pipeline. Our job as master planners is to consider the needs of Coburg now and in the future, creating a framework for parks and recreation while ensuring fiscal sustainability. Next slide. We kicked off the project over the summer, completing our background work before launching dedicated community and stakeholder engagement activities. We'll speak more in detail about those in a moment. We're now at the end of phase two, ready to begin our assessments next month and have a first draft of the plan ready in the spring. Next slide. Our work is informed by a number of previous plans, studies, reports, policies prepared for the town, including those shown on this slide. We have worked with staff to assemble these documents and other background data, agreements, inventories, schedules, all the things that'll help us work on the plan. Next slide, please. And next, we consulted the community through dedicated activities with specific audiences. We engaged with Parks and Recreation user groups through an invitational, detailed online survey and virtual meetings regarding specific needs, challenges, and opportunities. We're also drawing upon findings from the Waterfront User Needs Assessment completed by our team at Think, which included consultation with 30 groups. We met one-on-one with council members and key staff to discuss Parks and Recreation in Coburg. And finally, we organized a number of ways for residents to share preliminary feedback with us. Our online survey and web tools on Engage Coburg were complemented by a representative telephone survey of randomly selected households. We held an in-person community workshop and two focus groups. I'll now invite my colleague Madison to walk us through the findings from each of these audiences. Next
Thanks,
slide.
Danielle. Our consultation findings begin with Parks and Recreation user groups. Consultation with user groups included an online survey and five focus group interviews. The online survey was completed by 20 user groups, like Danielle said, including field user groups, court user groups, ice user groups, and one dance user groups. Next slide, please. Most user groups said that they need more of the same facilities they already use, such as ice and arenas, ball diamonds and courts. On average, about 61% of regular season participants live in Coburg. However, this ranges widely between groups. Indoor facilities needs are generally being met, with groups looking for updated outdoor facilities with more amenities such as drinking water, food services, and washrooms. About half of the groups currently leave Coburg to use facilities in other municipalities. And in terms of funding, 65% are willing to help fundraise. 40% are considering paying higher user fees, and 60% are unsure about contributing to capital costs. Next slide, please. Five focus group interviews were completed with seven user groups, including ball field users, ice users, and outdoor court users. Ball field users identified condition and safety issues at Donegan and Sinclair Fields, with Legion Fields being highly valued but requiring more consistent daily maintenance. Key priorities include lit diamonds, access to indoor training space, and proper washrooms as participation grows. Ice users noted challenges with allocation and scheduling, with ice needs being required too far in advance for leagues and desire for more flexibility to return unused ice. Facility constraints at the CCC were also outlined, including parking and layout, noting as challenging during peak times and a desire for an on-site dry land training space. Court users note that Sinclair courts are in poor and unsafe condition. Groups also identified missing essentials such as shade, seating, drinking water, and inconsistent washroom access. As pickleball demand is growing, with Sinclair being over capacity and Coverdale needing or nearing capacity. Next slide, please. In 2018, Think Design completed a waterfront user needs assessment, which will also contribute to informing recommendations. Some key issues outlined in that assessment include tourism at Victoria Park Beach, issues with boat storage blocking views, conflicting shared use of the harbor, concerns around the marina operations, expansion, and profit, and polarizing views of the waterfront campground. The study also identified safety issues and new opportunities at the East Pier and the need for better trail connections, signage, and accessibility upgrades. Interviews with council and staff highlighted Coburg's core strengths and challenges. Strengths include Coburg's waterfront as a major tourism draw, setting it apart from surrounding municipalities, the CCC as a flagship facility and community hub, strong dedication from Coburg staff and their dedication to parks and recreation, and the quality and quantity of events in Coburg. Some critical challenges included serving as a regional hub with a small tax base, aging infrastructure, including tired assets, such as the skate park and the campground, as well as Centennial Swimming Pool, with the need for an updated life cycle strategy as rapid population growth outpaces existing maintenance staff and amenity capacity, as well as ongoing issues with parking and crowding, particularly at the beach and the CCC. Council and staff also highlighted several facility and amenity priorities, including pressure on the CCC due to lost regional ice, a likely need for a third ice pad, and the Centennial Pool reaching end of life with decisions needed on its future. They also noted gaps such as indoor turf, municipal gym space, dedicated pickleball courts, more free activities for youth, and potential relocation of the dog park to non-leased land. They also raised programming and service delivery concerns, including underserved youth, mixed views on the future of the campground torn between modernizing for revenue and reclaiming for public use, and a desire for more formal partnerships with the YMCA and school boards to help share service delivery. Finally, council and staff emphasized their top priorities to be addressed over the term of this plan, including prioritizing repair and maintenance over new builds, shifting from retirement-focused community to one that attracts youth and families, developing strategies for non-residential fees, paid parking and business case partnerships, and moving from loudest voice advocacy to decisions based on usage data and changing demographics. The remainder of our consultation was with residents and youth, including 471 self-selected online surveys, 300 random household survey participants, one public community workshop with 29 attendees, a youth workshop where we had the opportunity to present and interact with the class of engaged youth, and a senior focus group. Next slide, please. Thank you. Both the telephone and online surveys captured a broad cross-section of ages, household types, and neighborhoods, indicating good overall representation across the community. The telephone survey skews slightly older, with stronger representation to middle to older age groups, while the online survey captures a somewhat younger and more working age audience. Together, the two methods provide balanced age coverage. Responses in both surveys are also well distributed across the West End, East End, and Central Coburg, with this online survey also capturing a notable share of respondents from the broader North Cumberland County. For indoor facilities, online survey respondents report high use of the CCC and the YMCA and show strong demand for new or expanded indoor recreation facilities, particularly pools, fitness facilities, and turf fields. In contrast, telephone survey respondents report lower overall indoor facility use and generally feel additional indoor facilities are not needed. However, both online and telephone respondents outline a desire for an indoor swimming pool and more fitness facilities. for outdoor facilities, online survey respondents most often use soccer fields, outdoor pools, and tennis and pickleball courts, and express strong interest for expanded outdoor recreation, particularly pools, walking and running tracks, and turf fields. The telephone survey respondents report lower overall outdoor facility use and generally indicate that additional outdoor facilities are not needed, but both online and telephone respondents outline a desire for an outdoor swimming pool. For parks and open spaces, online survey respondents most often use beaches and trails and express strong interest in improvements to park washrooms, amenities, cleanliness, and parking, along with expanded parks and open spaces. Telephone survey respondents also identify beaches and trails as priorities, but generally feel additional parks and open spaces are not needed. In terms of participation in service delivery, online survey respondents most commonly identify barriers related to awareness, limited time, and limited adult opportunities, and primarily receive information through social media and word of mouth. Telephone survey respondents are more likely to report no participation barriers, with some noting inconvenient hours or facilities being too far, and rely more on social media and the municipal website for information. When outlining participants' top priorities for parks and recreation in Coburg, online survey respondents prioritize improvements and expansions to park and open space amenities first, followed by outdoor facilities and then indoor recreation facilities. Telephone survey respondents place the highest priority on recreation programs, followed by outdoor facilities and improved maintenance. Next, we move to our community workshop. The 29 participants at the community workshop expressed a preference for more small walkable parks rather than fewer large centralized parks, and for prioritizing outdoor parks and facilities over indoor recreation. They also emphasized the importance of more self-directed recreation opportunities over organized recreation opportunities. Our next we'll move on to our youth. Our 19 youth focus group participants and select youth participants from our community workshop are looking for informal, welcoming third spaces that reflect their interests, along with improved lighting and safety in parks. They expressed interest in single day leagues, tournaments, and age-specific programming, and noted that they also play pickleball. Youth prefer smaller age groupings for sports, such as 13 to 15 or 16 to 18, rather than 13 to 18 years. They also want improved maintenance on forest bike trails and appreciate flowers and planting in parks. Many also travel outside of Coburg for activities, pointing to gaps in local recreation options. Through our background research and public engagement, we have gathered a strong representation and understanding of Coburg's parks and recreation system and are ready to move into the next phase. Next steps will include confirming any remaining data needs with the town staff, begin detailed assessments, review preliminary ideas, and deliver a first draft of the master plan in the spring. Following refinement and task force review, a revised draft will be shared for community comment. Thanks so much for having us today. We really appreciate your time and effort on Coburg's Parks and Recreation Master Plan. We'd now like to open things up for any questions, comments, or feedback that you may have.
Before I open up, just want to say thanks for the work and really like to see how the differences between both the people who are volunteering the information and sort of putting the vested interest into the park study versus those randomly really vary. I think that's a great approach that you can see because, yeah, when you have people doing the work intentionally to go on and fill out a survey, they often carry a major bias or an intention behind it versus the random surveys of people on the phone. You're tending to see a much more general view of what the average Coburg citizen might think. So I've never seen that before in these plans. So thank you. That was great to sort of see the contrast. Any members of council like to start asking some questions? By all means, Councillor Darling.
Yes, thank you, ladies. A very detailed presentation. And on page 23, bottom left, it says outside municipalities. 64% travel outside of for recreation due to gaps in local facilities and programs. You may not have the answer off the top of your head, but can you tell me what maybe the most the highest reasons for traveling outside and what sports that would be? I found that kind of shocking that we have so many things going on in the community, yet that number travels outside.
And just before you jump to the answer, I was just going to say, if you looked on the other side, it was only 11% of the correspondents who were called. So perhaps that's what I was talking about, but I'm interested to hear their answer as well.
Yeah, I mean, for you, Mr. Mayor, this question asks about, first asking, do you travel outside of Coburg? Why do you travel, and what do you what recreation are you pursuing when you're there? I believe with this question, we did get a lot of folks that are engaged in, for example, hockey, and you're going to different communities and you're using those spaces. So, you would respond to this question saying, I leave the town. We offer options like you're doing it in combination with work, in combination with shopping. So in this case, I think it had to do with some sports leagues and other activities that may not be in Coburg, or say there's a outdoor pickleball court, next town over, and that's someone's going to select that option. So this doesn't mean that they're exclusively traveling outside of Coburg and not staying in Coburg. It's more, do you travel elsewhere, and why do you do so?
Thank you.
But we can look in detail if you want to know more.
Thank you.
I will say, out of personal experience, I know one of the major concerns from a local sports team is actually young women's hockey. So because they've had such a recent surge in young women's hockey, ice time at the CCC is very hard. And so a lot of the young parents are driving a lot to different regions to play for those. I guess on a funny note, I noticed there's no Frisbee golf. So the Frisbee golfers of Coburg clearly did not call in to respond. I'll state my disappointment, but more importantly, I have a very general question. I'm just curious, as sort of specialists in park plans, recently we've heard that our neighbor to the west, Port Hope, introduced a new policy within their parks plan, and that's a Port Hope First initiative, meaning Port Hope residents now have a 24-hour advanced opportunity to enroll in all parks activities before it's open to the general public. I'm just wondering, have you ever come across a policy like that in other municipalities or anything like that?
Yes, for you, Mr. Mayor, not in municipalities I've worked in, but where we have looked at municipalities that don't have capacity to fund infrastructure. For example, they don't have an indoor pool in their community. They're looking at the neighboring municipality that might have those facilities and looking to set up partnerships so their residents can use those spaces. And it often is quite common that the residents in that municipality gets first dibs. In terms of formal policy, I mean, I haven't come across one working in a community where we put that together in our plan, but it is, I think, as we're moving into more regional models and in the case of Coburg serving, quite a large population regionally compared to, actual residents, this could be something to consider. But yeah, I haven't, in our plans, it's usually the community looking to use facilities elsewhere and kind of getting that block with the neighboring municipality.
Well, thanks. I just think it's a good question, and I wanted to put it on the council floor, both for my council colleagues and our manager of Parks and Rec and our team, because if we're starting to see some of our member municipalities of the county do their residents first before the community, that might be something Coburg residents would want its elected officials to look at. We know that there's limited spaces in all of our programs across our swimming, our hockey, and our summer camps. So as we're a growing community and as we are seeing a demographic shift in Coburg to a more young family, perhaps that's something this council or future councils want to consider. And I just put that on the record for sort of staff's consideration. Before we go any further, thank you, Deputy Mayor. I was going to say, any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I'm glad that you brought up what the Port Hope Initiative is, because to complement that or the other side of the coin, and I can appreciate what Port Hope's achieving through that oversubscription of certain of their recreation programs. In speaking with constituents and following along this master plan and being the parks program and being at some of the workshops myself, it was actually surprising speaking to how many Coburg residents, which are user fees, are actually going to neighboring municipalities because they have a better offering of infrastructure or a diverse programming. The Jack Berger pool is a great example of, there's a therapeutic heated pool, hence, you know, the acceleration and looking at what we're doing here with the why. So yes, the prioritization of Cobourg residents, but also us asking ourselves, why are Cobourg residents going to Oshawa, Peterborough, going up north to some of the county trails when we could be doing more trails, cross-country skiing right here in our own like urban footprint. So glad to see that addressed in this data. Aside from that comment, Mr. Mayor, through you to the team, my question is, this is really strong data. I love how you went to where people are at. I really love that you did a deep dive into engaging with youth. I think all council and staff can say when they talk to youth, it's, well, what can we do? What are those third spaces? Please give us our basketball court back. They want to have natural, organic, unorganized, free, barrier-free, financially free activities. So my question is, with this data, can you help me understand how is this data then applied to the next step in your methodology?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Deputy Mayor. For you, Mr. Mayor, really we're at that stage now going into phase three where we have so much exciting engagement data and all of our background data, and we get to have the pleasure of taking it all in and beginning our assessment. So let's take the parks and open spaces assessment, for instance. You know, we might start at a higher, more policy level, thinking about parkland dedication, classification, broader open space strategies, trails, et cetera, and then kind of more narrow down to, okay, how are we doing with playgrounds? How are we with skate parks? How are we with individual amenities? You know, looking at provision in benchmarking against other municipalities, looking at the data we receive from the community. And it really is this balance between what have we observed or what do we know is trending or what have we heard from staff is an opportunity to what have we heard from the community, you know, taking all that into account and trying to balance the wants and the needs. And that's where Madison spoke to on that last slide about next steps, where, you know, we meet with staff to go over some preliminary ideas. We put together a draft master plan. We refine it, we go to the task force, we refine it, we bring to the public. You know, we have some initial buy-in from the project team and from the task force, and then get feedback from the public of, you know, do you think this is an appropriate recommendation? Is this more of a short-term or medium-term? And it really is kind of an iterative process throughout the spring and early summer to make sure that it's kind of co-created with the community, but also is sustainable for Cobourg and appropriate for the 10-year term of the plan.
Follow up, Deputy Mayor, and then we'll go over to Councillor Mouton.
It was a new question, so I don't want
to
take away.
By all means, then we'll switch it over to, look at how polite and kind we're all being. Whoever wants to go first, let's start.
Thank you, Councillor Mouton. My question, and this might not be within your scope of work, but when you're reviewing our assets and our past plans and past community priorities, some engaged by the public, set by council budgeted for. What I'm trying to get at is I'm going to use three examples off the top of my head. So we have our basketball court, our skate park, and pickleball courts. Past capital approvals by council kind of slotted in as infrastructure, soft core assets to be built out. They were approved on the principle that the capital levy would fund 50% and then it would be co-funded or non-levy revenue fundraised or grants secured. Those three projects have, you know, some would argue possibly lapsed just due to, you know, the pursuit of or the success rate of grants and fundraising. Is that taken into consideration when you're doing your full scan of what we're doing?
Yes. So, you know, we'll kind of acknowledge the current context and what the existing model might be, or whether it's, you know, a concept plan was prepared in this year and this is where we're at now and engagement has said this. And, you know, ultimately our recommendations do have a suggested timeline, a suggested cost estimate, and that's where we can speak to, you know, certain grants or certain funding models that are recommended. You know, in some cases where we might have a recommendation that isn't quite ready, we can phrase it a bit more like consider or do further consultation or, you know, conduct a feasibility study if we're not ready yet to commit to something for a certain timeline. There is flexibility there. And, we are taking everything to account. We're not starting from scratch. It really is building upon all the previous work that's been done and making sure that it fits, you know, Coburg today and the Coburg that we're anticipating for the future.
So thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you to Danielle and Madison. I'm sure you're aware that our mayor is a very fierce competitor in Frisbee golf. So if you have any questions about that sport, you've got a direct contact. What I would like to ask and bring forward with regards to context, I am aware that some municipalities, some communities, and this is further to the discussion on what some municipalities in our area are doing with regards to local access. There are leagues where some municipalities are home to some pretty serious competition teams. So they, just out of the nature of their participation, maybe traveling to many other municipalities, and they attract other people to come to our municipality in spectator sports. So if we're looking at, and this could be, I mean, I'll say, you know, hockey and soccer and baseball, there's some pretty serious competition teams in our area. So on the aspect of looking at access by local citizens, is it possible to also consider that factor of the nature of the competitive leagues?
Yes, yes. I mean, when we are, you know, considering those scheduled facilities, and we're working with usage data, with schedules, you know, we might hear from a user group saying, I really need more ice time, or I need more time on the ball diamond. And we're able to look and see, well, there are gaps during prime time, or why do you need this time more than other? You know, we'll look at all of that. I guess the discussion about kind of a Coburg first policy, or that prioritization, would be either within the service delivery component, or maybe within each facility, depending on where it comes up. I think we'll have to go more into detail with that as we start phase three. Right now, we've been more listening and learning this first half of the project, I would say. So that's something that might be, we'd be able to speak more to once we have some draft ideas and we can work with staff and the task force to make sure that it's appropriate for Coburg.
Yes. And I'm just wondering, there might be a number of people who are seeing this presentation for the first time. I'd like everyone to know that the task force meetings are open to the public, but they're not videoed. So you can't actually watch the video in rerun to see what the discussion was. And my question, perhaps this might be more appropriate to the director, Mr. Mayor, is if someone... Our council meetings do appear on video. So people might hear, they might watch this presentation in rerun. If someone has something to say, something to share, what would be the best approach for them to contribute from now moving forward? Would it be to contact the head of community services, a staff member? How would that be best done?
Through you, Mayor Cleveland, and thank you, Councillor Mouton, for that question. There's a couple of different ways. So individuals in the public can either send emails, or, you know, if they want to call our community services team, I'm happy to take those calls or those emails at any time. We also have a project page as well that says who's actually involved in the Parks and Recreation Master Plan and who's listening. So communication can go through that page. We're happy to provide more information on that. Maybe a little refresh. We'll work with our communications team. Maybe a quick social media post or that. And I do just want to provide a little bit more information on your previous question about competitive sports leagues. So how that information is captured, whether it is hockey or baseball or soccer, is our team through Lindsay Aitken, our manager of recreation. They work with the individual organizations. So when it comes to competitive sports, so I'll take baseball as an example. So when you have competitive baseball teams, our team works with the EOBA guidelines, so the Eastern Ontario Baseball Association guidelines. We work with the Ontario Baseball Association guidelines. They lay out for the organization, the local organization, and also our team, how much time that we have to provide per week, per age group that's at a competitive level for not only games, but practice time as well. So all of that factors into our allocation for our different facilities. It would also be captured within our facility allocation policy as well. And that's information that we have provided to our consultants, and we'll continue to go through that. But we do know that we keep track of new and emerging sports. We know that we have a growth in girls hockey. We know that we have growth in rugby in the town. You know, baseball does well when the Blue Jays do well. We know that. And there's a growth in hockey. There's trends there at different age levels. So our staff are constantly monitoring all of that information. And we've provided that to the consultants, but we'll take another look. What I will say as well is that there's also there's competitive teams, but in some sports we're also seeing regional teams as well, right? So I know that with rugby, we're taking a look at their expanded programming right now, because we do know that they have some regional teams. So we will always, you know, take a look at those different trends, make sure that that's factored into our allocation policy, but also factored into capital planning as well. And that's where the Parks and Recreation Master Plan will help with those types of decisions going forward.
Councillor Barber.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just a quick question. It's a sort of an ancillary issue, if I may. I'd like to ask the two ladies that are on screen, how often did parking issues and the like come up in getting your information from various folks? Was it I read through your thing and I've listened to what you had to say. I just wondered if you might comment on that. Thank you.
Yeah. I know in the waterfront user needs assessment, parking came up quite a bit in terms of, you know, the beach and downtown Cobourg. We heard about parking when it comes to the CCC. We did ask when it came to indoor and outdoor facilities, and this is for the resident surveys, if their needs were met in various areas, and that included, you know, parking, amenities like washrooms and drinking fountains, shade, cleanliness, food services, et cetera. So I have to look at the data to see what the percentage was of needs being met for parking for outdoor facilities versus for indoor facilities, and do a deep scan of the other comments as well. But I know it came up quite a bit with our discussions with councillors. I wouldn't say it was the number one trending topic, but it definitely probably in the top 10 to 15. And that's about what I can say right now on the topic without doing a deep dive into the consultation findings.
Well, that's a thorough discussion. Lots of questions answered, lots of information. Thank you so much. At this time, we will turn to the actual motion that we received this report for information. Do I have a mover and a seconder? So move by Councillor Barber, seconded by Councillor Mouton. It's on the floor. Final questions, concerns. Looking forward to seeing the stakes. And again, Councillor Mouton, on behalf of council, thanks for representing us on this course.